You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the 26th day of the month of January in the year 2022. I'm Paul Holden, the host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, bringing you your daily and just about daily in the offseason Rockies podcast here, proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, asking you, if you do enjoy the show, to please rate, subscribe, give us a rating. All that good stuff helps us. And to be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Audio only pod today, but that's all right. We'll be back on the video sphere tomorrow. So check it out. What we're going to talk about today is I got the down low on something that made total sense to me when my informant, the person that is plays a big role in why I'm so passionate about the Rockies, an old family friend of mine, and very passionate Rockies fan, Jambron, might have cracked a code a little bit. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. But again, we are proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find your team every day. All your favorite Colorado sports and the major men's sports have a podcast, and there's a little frog in the throat there, but all those sports, you got the Broncos, the Avalanche, and the Nuggets. It's a very busy time in Colorado sports right now, as the Broncos got to figure out what they're going to do with the head coach and the quarterback. The Nuggets are, you know, still good. Joker's incredible, and they're going back and forth this season. And, of course, the Avs being one of the best team in the NHL, and real high hopes for that playoff run. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there's a Locked On podcast for all those teams. So if you want to stay up to date with all the Colorado teams, be sure to go check out all the great podcasts available on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, before I get into diving into what I was texted about, we've got to talk about the one piece of relevant Rockies news. And another thing, I saw murmurs, and I didn't see too much, but Dick Monfort might not have been invited back to negotiations yesterday because of possibly the language that he used, and somehow might have jumbled things up and made things worse for the owners. But I saw a couple of tweets around there, so maybe something to keep an eye on there if using the term can't afford when addressing teams in bargaining agreements can lead to a shift in the language being used in the agreement. So that's something to watch for. But again, I just saw a couple tweets on that. Might be something just kind of to keep our eyes on. And then the other thing is, he didn't make it in yesterday, but another year of increase for Hall of Fame voting for Todd Helton. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are snuffed. Here's the deal, folks. Both of them are Hall of Famers. Both of them should be in the Hall of Fame. I think the best argument to be made is you can't tell the story of baseball without these players, and the Baseball Hall of Fame's job is to tell the story of baseball. Yes, put their plaque and then put a. I was listening to the Dan Le Batard show, and Greg Cody put on the, you know, put a disclaimer on the plaque and say like why it took them so long to get into Cooperstown or the thing, and that's fine. I think that's a reasonable thing to do, but. Because baseball can't, especially in a place like the Hall of Fame and a place that is supposed to teach the history of baseball, you can't just ignore the steroid era. You just can't. It's not only had an impact on the game still today, but it's something that is majorly important, and you can't tell the story of baseball without it being saved by the home run race or literally looking at Barry Bonds' numbers and saying, holy cow. Yes, you know, steroids impacted those numbers, but just like we talked about on the podcast, you still have to be a phenomenal baseball player to have those steroids help you. And it's not like Barry Bonds needed the steroids to become a better baseball player. He just wanted to become bigger, faster, stronger, a better athlete. Barry Bonds is an incredible baseball player already. He was an incredible baseball player. Roger Clemens is an incredible pitcher. To have these players that led categories in all of baseball are your leaders, are your statistical leaders. Have the conversation. Talk about why. Talk about it. Don't shy away from the history if you're going to be a place that celebrates history and tells the story, tells the history of the game. the steroid era is a major, major part of baseball, especially the modern era of baseball. You have to tell that story, and you cannot tell that story without Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and again, Dave Ortiz is part of that conversation. Now, his story is different than Barry Bonds, but again, congratulations to Dave Ortiz. He was a huge face of baseball. I think he's the Hall of Famer. The DH has been in position for a while. There's no one better that was a DH than Big Poppy. First ballot, he's in. Clemens, Bonds isn't. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any form of sense. But, again, the good news is Todd Helton increased his votes yet again, and he is most likely on the path to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he is seeing growth, 52%, 25 vote increase last year. Of the public ballots, we did see some mention that they're going to vote for Todd Helton next year. They just wanted to use their votes for people that were needed the support, and that's okay. Todd Helton, we can take our time and we can get there. And it's something that we want to celebrate, because Larry Walker and Todd Helton were elite. And again, it's important. The Hall of Fame does have the bias of the big markets too. It's very, very, very important that the Rockies get this representation in the form of two of their best players. And it's very encouraging to see the baseball writers see the importance and the significance of what Todd Helton did and what Todd Helton brought to baseball. Okay, that's the update on what's going on. Let's talk about the text messages I got, the inside scoop on what honestly makes total sense when you think about it for an approach for the Rockies. But first, let me tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Listen, are you someone like me, loves the candy bar, loves the snack, loves the treats? Well, Built Bar is a great, great way for you to keep those treats, but get a little more nutritional benefits. Get actually a great amount of nutritional benefits when it comes to a snack you're putting in your body. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. And it doesn't taste chalky. It doesn't taste waxy. It doesn't taste like a chemical spill. It's all good, especially for me. It's covered in 100% real chocolate. And most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So you got so many flavors that you can choose from for Built Bar, and they got the peanut butter brownie, the raspberry, the cookies and cream, the coconut almond. There's so much more, and there's so much for you to discover at Built.com, and there's limited edition flavors. There's different things. If you want to check something out that's not a bar, you can head to Built.com and you can see all the great options available for you. And when you do head to Built.com, you can use the promo code LOCK15 and you're going to get 15% off your order. That's 15% off anything at Built.com using the promo code LOCK15. Head on over to Built.com, use that promo code LOCK15 and get yourself 15% off your order at Built.com. Okay. So, Jambron, if you got to follow him on Twitter for you Rockies fans out there. He's always got great analysis. One thing that he pointed out to me is that the approach that we're taking and the mindset the Rockies have is not necessarily conducive to the ballpark that they play in. And again, this is something that this is when someone has gone in and looked at the numbers and looked. This is when you take an approach looking at your unique situation, looking at the fact that you have a unique element in where you play 82 of your games, or 81, I apologize, and really looking at what works. Let's dive in over here. Dun, dun, dun. Coors Field rewards contact and putting the ball in play more than any other park in baseball. The Rockies should focus on making contact on offense, not home runs and walks, and focus on strikeouts for pitchers, suppress balls and plays. But they preach pitch to contact. It's insane. Ground balls at Coors are doubles in the gap. Our analysis, we play in a park we Screw our analysis. We play in a park that inflates averages. It's great for turning singles into doubles, average for home runs. And we select for power bat, four power for bats, and pitchers who let and put the ball in play. Everyone is focused on walks and home runs. Three true outcome guys. The Rockies could sign cheap contact-focused guys who play great defense, take away contact, and kill it. Focus on pitchers who have a high K rate and suppress contact. Those are the ballpark factors. Lean into them. Helton and DJ LeMahieu killed it. Cuddy killed it. Blackman to an extent, because they are contact-focused guys. No other park rewards bat-to-ball skills like Coors Field. And this is a great point. Now, I've been preaching a lot this offseason about walks. I still would like to see more walks. I just because I want to see a Rockies team with a disciplined plate approach. It's more so, I don't want the Rockies striking out on a 1-2 count. I don't want the Rockies getting blown away on three pitches. If you go down on a 2-2, if you extend an at-bat and then get the walk, that's kind of more what I'm looking about. But when I'm talking to Jambron about this, it makes perfect sense. The Rockies should be the team that suppresses this mindset in baseball of the home run. Use the large outfield. Why was Todd Helton so good, especially at Coors Field? Because he hit doubles. Todd Helton was the doubles king. And how, I mean, and again, if you have a runner on and you're hitting a double in the huge gap in Coors Field, most likely that person on first is scoring. If that person has a decent amount of speed and that ball is hit far enough and deep enough into the gap in Coors Field, you're scoring from first, especially if you're putting something on where the runner's in motion. And if not, you're setting up a second and third situation, which arguably should, with Todd Helton being, you know, if you're asking Todd Helton, you're hopefully getting to a part where someone's behind him. Todd Helton is kind of always played in that center when he was at, you know, his peak, that chunk of the lineup. You hope that there's another bat behind him, a la maybe a Cargo, a Matt Holliday, for example, for that. And, you know, and then the big power bat can come in after the contact guy. You need to have power. Yes, the Rockies should have a power bat, but that's what it works for the Rockies, and that's what's been successful. Todd Helton would hit it in the gap. I mean, even, to Tulo to an extent. Dexter Fowler was really good at getting on base as well, or at least hitting for contact. That was what he did. And then you rely on your Cargo and your Matt Holliday to hit the big bombs for you and to do that. If the Rockies are a team that's really good at hitting for contact and lead, if the Rockies lead the league in doubles, that's a great thing because it does make sense. I mean, we've all seen it. I mean, doubles could turn to triples. Singles do turn into doubles. That's why Raimel Tapia is so exciting, especially at Coors Field in a ways. We've talked a lot about Raimel and the issues, but is there any other ballpark that's going to reward and turn these balls into doubles than Coors Field for Raimel to put these and hit these into the gap? I don't think so. Not as much. There's something there to if the Rockies' approach was just simply, let's hit doubles, not home runs, then they're going to be able to be the ones that take advantage of the fact that they have a massive outfield at home. And then when you take the approach, instead of trying to be a power-focused, power-hungry, our goal is to hit the ball long and far because we're the Blake Street Bombers. Of course, we all want that. That's exciting. But that's if you take an approach of get the ball in play, contact, let's hit the ball, that's going to work in any park. Hit the ball where they're not. Find the gaps, shoot for the doubles, try to limit your strikeouts. A lot of, you know, there is something, I guess, a little bit to the idea that, you know, strikeouts just now, what says it's not the most, you know, it's whatever. And we saw that on full display this past year, but that's not the case. Putting the ball in play is always a better option. Getting out by putting the ball in play is a better option than striking out, and it leads to more success. A bobble, a ball that gets through, a slice in the wind, an error, boom, bang, sack fly, sack this. There's so many more opportunities for you to be successful if your mindset as a hitter isn't to hit the cover off the ball and hit home runs to score runs that way. It's the, let me put the ball in play. Let me help my team by contributing this way. I don't need a home run to score two in this situation. I need a double in the gap to score the guy from second and third. I need a double in the gap to score the runner from first. I need to get on base for the power bat to come up later to make it a threat, to make them go to the bullpen, to make them bring in the more tired arm. There's something that Jambron is onto this, and there's more to it here. And that's not even touching on the pitching part of what he mentions. This is something that I would love as well. I'm not against letting your defense back you up. And the Rockies have been able to, I think, preach that and use that because they have had such strong defense for so long. I mean, if you look at it, the Rockies have had incredible defenders for a long time. That's not necessarily the case right now. You don't have as many elite defenders across the field like you did before. And that's a problem too. But if you, as a pitcher, instead of allowing them to put the ball in play, are just throwing gas in the top of the zone and are able to strike people out, then you don't have to worry about anything. And this kind of shook my mindset a little bit because as I've talked about on the podcast before, I'm okay with the ball being put in play and letting your defense do it. But just like the Rockies can be the ones that take advantage of the big field at Coors, other teams can too. Other teams, especially that are familiar with playing there, and you got to play a lot, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, for your division, for example. Other NL teams that come and play in Coors a lot. If you limit the hits from the other team, I know that's simple, but if you can get that high K rate, if you can keep the ball up in the zone, if you can keep those aggressive hitters making sure that they're seeing that high gas, making sure that they're seeing dead red, oh, boom, that it left it up, but it's coming in at you in the hands, done. More from the deep dive from Jam Bruns, the text messages, and this approach to the Rockies that could bring some benefits. But first, I'll tell you about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is the number one spot for all the sports wagering action this year. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website. So all you got to do is sign up today. And guess what? When you go and sign up today to make some money at Bet Online, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. Yep, that's right, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Again, get that 50% welcome bonus when you get started at BetOnline today with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Playoff football coming up, you know? Hey, great place to know. Great place to go so you can win some money this weekend or whenever because there's sports going on just about all the time. BetOnline, where the game starts. More from my conversation with Jambron on the text messages. If any team should be pitching up in the zone and hunting Ks, it's the Rockies. Power pitchers with power fastballs up in the zone, yet we teach sinkers low and ground balls, the last thing you want to do. The largest park factors for Coors are statistically double and triple inflation, or second base and third base inflation. Getting guys who hit into the gaps is a huge deal. Our home run factor is fifth, so obviously home runs are nice, but if you can find support guys who are gap and speed guys with great defense and put the ball in play, it's much higher volume of reward than waiting for a 16% boost in home runs, especially because when you look at the Rockies next year, home runs are probably not going to be their strength unless they go after someone in free agency. The current 2022 Colorado Rockies are not a power-hitting team. And this is a way for them to score more runs and get creative with it and take a different approach that baseball isn't taking right now. Coors Field suppresses walks and strikeouts for pitchers because they throw more fastballs that get hit earlier in counts. Trying to decrease contact and up your strikeout limits the ball in play. It limits the inflation of first base or of singles through home runs. Least amount of Ks for any park. If the Rockies could strike out opponents, it would be a huge effect on runs. A lot of this comes from Baseball Savant's StatCast park factors. And when you think about it, it does make sense. I mean, it's pretty simple. You strike people out, they can't get on base. You can't get in these situations where you allow teams to get themselves in. Not walking batters, throwing, and then having the ability to throw high fastballs of gas to keep people off balance, to keep themselves... They have to gear up. When someone comes in and is dealing absolute gas to you, you have to be ready. I love a good junk ball. I love a sinker low. I love that. But you know a pitcher is dealing when they come in at the top of the zone with a mid-90s fastball, and it's in there. Strike, top right corner. Strike, outside corner. Inside corner, top of the zone. And that's keeping the batters off guard. If you can't, that high cheese is so hard to hit. And if you keep batters... off balance and unable to hit, you're going to be successful. I mean, this stuff makes sense. I know this isn't the deepest dive into it, but again, this is an approach. This is something that when you have an analytics team, you can dive into. This is something when you have someone that's thinking of a different approach for the Rockies other than someone that might have been ingrained in the Rockies way and the Rockies organization might think. Now Bill Schmidt might be thinking like this. Now, Bud Black might be thinking like this. Who knows? I'm not in the locker room. I don't have that access. But the Rockies' current offensive approach isn't working. It hasn't worked since 2019. The Rockies have not scored enough runs. The Rockies have not been as good on offense as they could have been in years. And maybe it's this focus on power instead of hitting for contact. I'd like to think it is, because when you look at the Rockies' success, it kind of makes sense when you go through the batting order of how the Rockies hit. Charlie Blackmon leads into DJ LeMahieu, leads into Nolan Arenado, leads into Trevor Story, leads into Cargo, leads into the, you know, and then it kind of falls off a cliff. That's a different podcast for another day. One I want to do is, what if the competitive Rockies had 2021 Elias Diaz and 2021 CJ Cron? Biggest outfield in baseball. Get a Gold Glove center fielder, rangy left fielder, and right fielder. Gold Glove shortstop, contact, power bat at third base and first base. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Biggest outfield in baseball. Get a Gold Glove center fielder. Don't remember if Dexter Fowler was a Gold Glove center fielder, but Dexter Fowler was a good center fielder. Get a rangy left fielder and right fielder. Cargo in right. Ooh, left field, though. Who was playing? You know, Matt Holliday in left. Not the best defender, but there's your power bat. Gold Glove shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki. Contact, Garrett Atkins, your second baseman that floated in there. Who played third? Oh, I just saw him on the Every Rockies, and I was like, is it Garrett Atkins? I can't remember. But I just saw him on Every Rockies. Power bat at third and first, Todd Helton. Power bat in ways. I mean, has that potential. Is that not the 2007 Rockies right there? Or at least elements of it? Is that not elements of the 2018 Rockies as well? Jan Brown's on to something here, folks. The 2007 to 2009 Rockies had Fowler, Tavares, both elite center fielder, and Cargo, elite in right field, and Holliday. Not ideal, but a masher in left field. Solid outfield defense. Center field is the golden boy position at Coors. You want Harrison Bader or Andrew Jones type of guys. No other field rewards center field defense or punishes lack of it like Coors. And that is not something you can argue. That is on the nail. Center field is a nightmare at Coors Field. I would hate to play center field at Coors Field. I'd hate to play the outfield at Coors Field. Yes, the altitude, the ball flying, yes, all that stuff. But if I was an outfielder, I would be sitting there saying, playing center field is exhausting. Covering all that space, covering all that ground. That's, again, my big hopes for Zach Veen and Benny, if they pan out as the top prospects, is they are an elite center fielder. Because that is what the Rockies are missing. And it would be a huge boost. If the Rockies had a top center fielder in the game, that'd be a massive bonus for them. So shout outs to Jambron. Again, he's always looking at ways to make the Rockies better. He gets frustrated by them, and there's a whole long backstory there, sure, but always brings great stuff to me and is always a great supporter of the show. So shout outs to Jambron and for bringing us all this great information. Tell me what you all think of this approach for the Rockies. Like, subscribe, follow the show, do all that cool stuff. And yeah, we'll be back in action talking more baseball tomorrow. I don't quite know what we're going to talk about yet. Maybe probably something fun. And we'll be back on the YouTube as well. But just some scheduling stuff today made it so that an audio-only podcast made the most sense. But folks, please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like us. Follow us on Twitter at LO Rockies. I'm Paul Holden, 33, and the host of the Locked On Rockies podcast. Go win some money with Locked On Bets. And until next time, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.